live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Keela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, an Inishowen councillor is hoping the Taoiseach's visit to the county next week will allow him to witness firsthand the severe lack of infrastructure in Donegal. The GRA is calling for more resources and manpower in rural areas after a Garda car was rammed in the county this week. It's emerged that 64 complaints were received about a poster advertisement in Buncrana featuring an image of a woman holding a golf club and a reference to the 19th hole. And there's been a 3% drop in the number of people presenting themselves as homeless in the northwest. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first to news, an Inishowen councillor is hoping the Taoiseach's visit to the county next week will allow him to witness firsthand the severe lack of infrastructure in Donegal. Councillor Jack Murray has published a number of maps detailing the significant disparities between the northwest region and the rest of the country. It reveals how Donegal is completely excluded from both the rail and motorway network, as well as the lack of gas infrastructure and high-powered electrical supply in the region. Councillor Murray says it is vital Leo Varadkar realises the necessity of the A5 for the region.
Yeah, the maps really, I suppose, put in most clear and stark terms that the idea that Donegal's a forgotten county is not just something that people say, but it's evidence that it's so bare and so clear on those maps. And these maps are just in terms of infrastructure. We've also seen recently iCare, the Inishowen Autism Charity, produced a map with the allocation of funding to special needs organisations. They were all below that Dublin the Galway line too. The Donegal Diabetes Centre have produced a similar map. Donegal Action for Cancer Care. It's always and it's consistent that funding and investment always goes south. It's avoided the northwest.
The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is visiting the county next Tuesday week, the 11th of September, and part of that visit will be opening the Cockhill Bridge there in Inishowen. Are these the kind of issues that you're going to bring up with him?
This is an issue that I suppose it's not going to go away anytime in the next number of years. Leo Varadkar, well, he might have changed this tune in recent times while he was Fine Gael opposition spokesperson transport. He was opposed to the A5. That's the type of mentality that has made Donegal suffer like this. And Leo Varadkar is going to have to drive up the A5. If he gets stuck behind a tractor or a lorry, he'll understand the need for that piece of infrastructure. And I would hope that he would push to drive that through. He realised that he can't get a train to Donegal like he would to anywhere else in Ireland. So I would hope that might make him understand more the need for the investment in here. Because I think Donegal now deserves a special case. Because we've been left behind for so long, I think we deserve a special case to get greater investment to bring us back up to the standard that the rest of the country would enjoy.
The Garda Representative Association is calling for more resources and manpower in rural areas after a Garda car was rammed in County Donegal this week. An investigation is continuing after two Gardaí were injured in Carrigart when their vehicle was hit several times in the early hours of Tuesday morning. Gardaí are continuing to search for a black Volkswagen Passat with a partial registration of 02MH in connection with the incident. The GRA spokesman John O'Keefe says Gardaí in Donegal and other rural counties need more resources to deter criminals.
The real reason that they may joyride in Donegal, rural areas and indeed in some urban centres is because they can. And the reason they can is firstly they know they will almost certainly not come across Gardaí in Donegal, for example. Even if they do, Gardaí will not have the necessary vehicle or vehicles to apprehend them. And even if they do apprehend them, Gardaí across the country don't have effective physical deterrents such as tasers and body cams.
It's emerged that 64 complaints were received about a poster advertisement in Buncrana featuring an image of part of a woman holding a golf club and a reference to the 19th hole. Complainants described the advertisement as offensive, misogynistic and promoting a rape culture. In their response, a nightclub concerned stated that no offence was intended by their advertising. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The advert for Liberty's nightclub featured a close-up rear view of a woman holding a golf club at the edge of her shorts under the banner Liberty's Your 19th Hole for the Summer. 64 complaints were received by the Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland, including claims that the advert was misogynistic, objectified women and could promote predatory sexual behaviour. In its response, Liberties said the advert was a clear reference to a popular term, meaning the bar to which golfers go after playing, and it was intended to tie in with the Irish Open. The model could just as easily have been a man, they argued. The ASAI acknowledged that the billboard was taken down within days, but upheld the complaints. The ASAI also upheld a complaint against the Pulse nightclub in Letterkenny, which advertised 99-cent drinks for an event, but only offered customers one drink at that price.
Presidential hopeful Peter Casey says his connections could encourage businesses to set up in Ireland. The recruitment entrepreneur and Dragon's Den star announced his intention to seek a nomination today. He says his focus will be on connecting with Irish people abroad and encouraging investment in rural Ireland. Peter Casey says he knows the president has limited powers, but a lot can still be achieved.
My slogan is small country, big nation. We can make a huge difference. I personally have dealt with some of the senior leaders in business in the top Fortune 50 companies in the world. I know that they can be impacted to come over to Ireland.
Another school transport issue is being highlighted in Donegal, this time in North Inishowen, where 9 children have been denied seats on the school bus to the local national school because they are deemed to be concessionary. Senator Padraig McLaughlin says after a similar situation last year, some changes were made, but it appears no lessons were learned by the government and the Department of Education, and the situation this year is actually worse. Senator McLaughlin has described the use of a lottery to allocate limited concessions tickets as a crude system, which is adversely affecting children's education and causing major difficulties for families in rural areas.
The reality in terms of rural communities is that, you know, we don't have the same luxuries as cities and large towns in terms of transport options. So if you're a family living in a rural area, you need help with school transport. You know, you just can't willy-nilly change working shifts, change working hours. So this has a real impact. And what we're saying is, if we have families who are willing to pay for a service and they need help to stay in rural communities, and that's what we keep talking about, then there needs to be practical government intervention. And this crude lottery system that happens every year where some parents get in and some parents get out is totally wrong, and it needs to change. We need to be clear that where you have a family in a very rural area willing to pay for the school transport of their children, they should be supported to do so.
But Aaron, are making it quite clear that they have to operate under the rules that they've been given, and that's what they're doing in this instance. This obviously is going to have to go beyond the local Busairn office. This is going to have to go right to Leinster House and government buildings.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this has been raised with Minister John Halligan, who's the Minister for School Transport, you know, over recent years. And, you know, last year in Donegal, there were problems, you know, in various parts of the county. And indeed, in those very same parts this year, the situation's got worse. So, you know, Minister John Halligan has told me that his office is looking into this. But what we need is Minister John Halligan to make clear to Busairn to stop the lottery system and to facilitate families who are willing to pay for a service. That's what needs to happen. And he has the power to do that, and he should do it.
There's been a 3% drop in the number of people presenting themselves as homeless in the Northwest. Figures released by the Department of Housing, Planning and Local Government show that the number of people accessing emergency accommodation during the week from the 23rd to the 29th of July was 47, down on last year's figure of 50. In Donegal, 19 people sought emergency accommodation, the same figure as last month. Catherine Gaffney has more.
In the Northwest, 47 people presented themselves as homeless last month, down 3 on last year's figure for the same period. 4 families sought emergency accommodation, the lowest figure in the country, comprising of 6 adults, 2 single-parent families and 7 dependents. In Donegal, 19 people availed of emergency accommodation, the same figure as the previous month, while in Sligo, 28 accessed local authority emergency accommodation. Nationally, 9,891 men, women and children were homeless in July, up 19 since June. This has led to calls on the Housing Minister to resign.
2 teenage boys are to stand trial accused of the murder of Kildare schoolgirl Anna Creashel. One of them appeared before the Children's Court earlier today, accompanied by his parents. From there, Stephanie Rohan reports.
The 14-year-old boy held hands with his mother and father while his grandfather sat nearby as he appeared before the Children's Court. The court heard the book of evidence is ready in the case and has been served. The boy is now being sent forward for trial to the next sitting of the Central Criminal Court. He was the first to be charged with Anna Creashel's murder back in May. The schoolgirl's body was found in a derelict farmhouse a few days after she went missing. A second boy, who's 13, is also to face trial accused of the murder after being sent forward earlier this week. The boys can't be named because they're minors. Both are on bail pending trial. They haven't indicated how they'll plead. Stephanie Rowan at the Children's Court.
A public meeting will take place in Gidor next Wednesday to discuss the planned closure of two post offices in the area. The Brunelec and Bombeg offices are both due to close in the coming months, with Derrybeg identified as the replacement office for both. Local councillor Micheál Colmagill-Osbach says it's vital that local people send a clear message that they want to retain services.
We have two post offices that are being closed, so we're organising a public meeting next Wednesday up at New Padraic in Gidor at 7 o'clock, and we're hoping that the Gidor community will come out and voice their concerns about this. There are other communities that are affected too, which is Burton Port, Gartaharc and Dunfanaghy, and I know there's a meeting organised as well for the Burton Port area, and I would call on others to organise in their own communities. It's important that the government hears a clear voice from rural Ireland saying that you cannot continue to shut down vital services within our community.
And Post are pointing out that in the case of Bunbeg, it's just a few short kilometres to Derrybeg, and in the case of Brunelec, it's less than 7 kilometres from Derrybeg. So the distances involved between the existing offices and the alternatives are relatively short. That doesn't hold water with you.
Yes, but the reality of it is that if you take in the parish of Gidor from one end to another, there's roughly about 6,000 people, and if they go ahead with the closures, what it'll mean is that there's only one post office to serve that large amount of people.
Hundreds of smear test samples are going out of date before they can be tested. Health officials say it's due to a backlog of rechecks in the wake of the cervical cancer scandal. The government offered free tests to anyone who was worried by the cases of Vicky Phelan and Emma Vic Mahuna. Sinn Féin Health spokesperson Louise O'Reilly says there's no doubt that screening saves lives, but it's becoming harder and harder for people to have trust in the service.
I do think, you know, without a time machine, we can't, the Taoiseach can't unsay what he said. But I think he should reflect on the fact that when the pressure was on, he gave a lot of hope to women, which he could not deliver on. And I think that was very unfortunate, because we all have heard from Vicky Phelan about how traumatic it was to go through the courts. And we have heard from Ruth Morrissey about the trauma inflicted, not just on her, but on her family.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the latest range of children's gear from Nike, Adidas and Puma. MichaelMurphySports.ie.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic games, and there could be some team news tonight from Tyrone and Dublin camps ahead of Sunday's All-Ireland football final. Conor Myler is available for Tyrone after a knee injury, which forced him to sit out their semi-final victory over Monaghan. Dublin also have a fitness boost ahead of the final, with Cian O'Sullivan recovering from a hamstring tweak. Dublin narrowly beat Mayo in recent finals. Does Tyrone manager Mickey Hart take much from those games?
Mayo, to their credit, have been really toe-to-toe with them. That's really in three All-Ireland finals, the drawn and replay one, and in last year's. Very close to them, and probably the rub of the green on a few occasions, and they would have had two titles. Mayo could be going for three in a row at this stage, and that wouldn't be unreasonable to suggest. So, yes, they have something about them. Mayo have something about them that really challenges Dublin. But I don't think that we can really pay too much attention to that, because we're not Mayo, and we have to do what Tyrone do to the best of our ability. And okay, if we can learn something from Mayo's ways, fine, but we can't abandon the things that serve us well as too.
Well, Dublin are favourites for Sunday, so what's Jim Gavin's thoughts on the expectations around the champions?
You can embrace the expectation, the pressure, certainly we do in the Dublin football team anyway. It's great to have that. I prefer to have that than to be looking at some other team having it. And then in the game, it's just about trying to be present and trying to look and read the game as best you can, so you're doing the right thing for the player. So the emotion of it, that the supporters might enjoy, and that highs and lows, you know, I just feel that it can affect your decision making process. So it's just trying to be as present as you can in that particular moment, and try and do the right thing for the team, and then you can enjoy it afterwards.
You can hear more from both managers on our website in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Elsewhere in Gaelic games, former Mayo football manager James Horan says a return with the county is not on his short-term radar. Horan is one of the favourites to take the vacant job after Stephen Rochford sensationally quit on Monday. However, Horan, who won four Connacht titles managing Mayo between 2011 and 2014, says he had no approach from the county board about returning. There's action on the field tonight in all county leagues. In Division 1, St Eunan's, they play Milford. And in the All-County League Division 2, Glenfinn, they play title chasing Bundoran. Both those games start at 7 o'clock. In soccer, the 2018 UEFA Champions League draw is just about to get underway in Monaco. Premier League champions Manchester City are among the top seeds and will avoid Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern Munich. Manchester United and Spurs are alongside Roma, Napoli, Porto and Borussia Dortmund in pot two. And Liverpool, they'll need plenty of luck on their side if they're to avoid a difficult group with Jurgen Klopp's side in pot three. Inter Milan, they're the team to avoid and they're in pot four. Well, Rangers, they've survived two red cards to book their place in the group stage of the Europa League. Steven Gerrard's side drew 1-1 on the night with FC Ufa in Russia, advancing 2-1 in aggregate. Ovi Ejara's early goal getting them over the line. Rangers picked up two red cards during the game, with Alfredo Morelos and John Flanagan both being sent off. Later on, Celtic, they started 1-1 when they played Lithuanian team Sudova in Glasgow this evening. Also this evening, Burnley, they need to come back from a 3-1 down against Olympiacos at Turf Moor if they're to reach the group stages. The draw for those group stages are tomorrow. Elsewhere, England manager Gareth Southgate says Declan Rice has a difficult decision on his hands as he weighs up his international future. Rice has played three times for the Republic of Ireland in friendlies, but has spoken to Southgate about the possibility of representing England, the country of his birth. The England manager says that Rice still remains an Irish player and that the decision has to be left with him. And Sam Allardyce says he's considering legal action after a report found the undercover investigation that led to him being sacked as England boss was justified in the public interest. He lost his job after just 67 days. The press watchdog upheld three of Allardyce's 25 complaints against the Daily Telegraph. It says the paper was wrong to suggest he had implied third parties could benefit from transfer fees, and he hadn't told reporters how to break ownership rules. In golf, Jonathan Thompson has signed for an 8-under par opening round of 64 at the Maiden Denmark tournament in the European Tour. He's two shots clear of the field. It's the last tournament before the European Ryder Cup captain Thomas Bjorn confirms his team for next month's clash with the USA. In rugby, former Ulster back Tommy Bowe says his old club faces a season of transition. The Northern Province has appointed Dan McFarlane as head coach, while they've also added Ireland internationals Marty Moore and Jordy Murphy to their ranks this summer. But Bowe says they've lost a lot of experience in the last 2 years.
Particularly in the back line, you look at... I mean, Ruan Pienaar left two seasons ago, and you have Paddy Jackson, you have Stuart Olding, you have Jared Payne, myself, Trimby, Charles Piatow, Paul Marshall. A lot of experience there. But in talking to the likes of Dwayne Peel, who's the backs coach up there, the likes of Billy Burns, Will Addison, there's a lot of promise. They're expecting big things, particularly from those two guys. Mm. Marcel Coutier back playing.
Elsewhere in rugby, Leinster have handed a debut to Joe Tomane for their Guinness Pro 14 opener at Cardiff tomorrow night. The former Australian international starts at inside centre and is joined in midfield by Rory O'Loughlin. Ross Byrne has been selected at out half, and number 8 Caelan Dorris is set for his first start for the Blues in a side skippered by flanker Rhys Ruddock. Finally for this evening in tennis, Roger Federer continues his quest for a 6th US Open title this evening. The Wimbledon champion is in round 2 action on the Arthur Ashe court against world number 56 Benoit Paire of France. 13-time Grand Slam winner Novak Djokovic is on court in the early hours of the morning, going up against one of the home favourites, Tennis Sandegren. And in the women's draw, Wimbledon champion Angelique Kerber is on court at the moment, taking on Johanna Larsson of Sweden. 5th seed Petra Kvitova goes up against Yafang Wang of China, while Australian Open winner Caroline Wozniacki meets Lesia Sarenko of the Ukraine. Well, that's all your sport this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And finally in news, hoteliers in Donegal are warning that while the industry has made great strides in recovery in recent years, the growth cannot be taken for granted and the 9% VAT rate must be maintained. Paul Diver, chair of the Donegal branch of the Irish Hotels Federation, says in Donegal the tourism sector supports 7,500 jobs and contributes €213 million to the local economy. There's been speculation that the rate may be changed in the forthcoming budget, but Paul Diver says in the face of Brexit and other economic challenges, changing the rate now would have a devastating effect on Donegal.
You know, in the past, Northern Ireland would have been a huge source of business for us here in Donegal. In the last couple of years, it has turned into a competitor. When Donegal is 25% more expensive, that means Northern Ireland and England are 25% less expensive. Certainly, we couldn't sustain another increase, and it would be an absolutely absurd move by the government, you know, when there are so many people employed in the industry, to go and put that in jeopardy.
And for weather now, staying mostly dry for the rest of the day with some bright or sunny spells and light south to southeast winds. Mostly dry tonight with some clear spells and lowest temperatures of 6 to 8 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, an Inishowen councillor is hoping the Taoiseach's visit to the county next month will allow him to witness firsthand the severe lack of infrastructure in Donegal. Councillor Jack Murray has published a number of maps detailing the significant disparities between the northwest region and the rest of the country. It's emerged that 64 complaints were received about a poster advertisement in Buncrana featuring an image of part of a woman holding a golf club and a reference to the 19th hole. Complainants described the advertisement as offensive, misogynistic and promoting a rape culture. Another school transport issue is being highlighted in Donegal, this time in North Inishowen, where 9 children have been denied seats on the school bus to the local national school because they are deemed to be concessionary. Senator Padraig McLaughlin says after a similar situation last year, some changes were made, but it appears no lessons were learned by the government and the Department of Education. And there's been a 3% drop in the number of people presenting themselves as homeless in the northwest. Figures released by the Department of Housing, Planning and Local Government show that the number of people accessing emergency accommodation during the week from the 23rd to the 29th of July was 47, 19 in Donegal. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 30th of August. The death has occurred of Mary McGarvey, Mean Corwick, Crawley. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 7 o'clock this evening, with rosary at 10 o'clock. Rosary tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 in Meanwheel Church, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and also private on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Ethel Davis, Capri Ballybuffet. Funeral from her home on Saturday afternoon at 20 past 1 for service at 2 o'clock in Stranraer Parish Church, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Patient's Comfort Fund, St Joseph's Community Hospital, Stranraer, care of any family member. House private, please, at the request of the deceased. Family and friends are welcome. The death has taken place of Charlie McCann, late of Shrove, Greencastle. Removal from Cullen's funeral premises, Cooldaff, this evening at 5:30, going to his late residence. Funeral from his residence on Saturday morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Patient's Comfort Fund, Carndonagh Community Hospital, care of Liam Collins, funeral director, or any family member. The death has taken place of Joe McShane, 21 Columban Terrace, Strabane, formerly of Meeting House Street, Rafoe. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Kathleen Curran, Nae O'Donnell, Glasgow and formerly of Castle Shanahan, Letterkenny. Removal from Quigley's funeral home, Strabane, this evening at 6:45, going to St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnson. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Charlie Rorty, Dunluey. His remains are reposing at his nephew Manus McHugh's residence in Dunluey. Removal tomorrow to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Dunluey, for Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal Cancer Flights, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock, with house private, please, from after the rosary until 10 o'clock tomorrow.